So if today's daf is Pei Aleph, we're going to start at the Mishnah. Hakonesh shnei ilanot b'toch sadeh chavero, harei ze lo kana karka. We've learned this before, that if you buy two trees in a field, then you don't acquire the land underneath. Okay, you get the two trees, right? Three trees already means you get the land underneath. If you buy two trees, then you don't own the land. Okay, we're going to see today a different ramification that we never thought of before. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kana Karka. Rabbi Meir says, no, you actually do acquire the land underneath. Okay. Higdilu lo yishpe. Okay, according now to, I believe this is just according to Chachamim, right? According to this. Right. According to Tanakama, that you don't acquire the land. Therefore, so if you only own the trees and not the land, the assumption is that the owner gave you the trees. Now, obviously, trees need the land, right? So he didn't sell you the land underneath. He didn't include that in the sale. However, if he gave you whatever you would need for growing purposes. Therefore, higdilu, if they got very large, and what happens when the trees get large? They start providing shade, which is negative, right, for the field of the person who owns the field. So the owner of the field can't say, okay, lo yishapeh, he can't cut down your branches and say, hey, it's blocking my ground because he sold you just the trees. You're allowed everything. What's interesting is it's like a kula that becomes a chumra that becomes a kula because you don't get the land, but therefore you do get anything that is necessary for the purpose of the trees. So therefore, we'll see the opposite case soon. Therefore, you're going to get as far as your trees can go, you're allowed to keep them like that. Anything that comes out of the trunk or from the shorashim belongs to, trunk, why balakarka?
Maybe if it's new shoots or something like that coming out from the trunk.
Right, I guess new shoots coming out.
I think it's two different things. One is from the geza, belongs to the person who bought it.
Oh, sorry, you're right, I read it wrong. I knew that. I knew it didn't make sense. Ha'olemin ha'geza shelo, sorry. If it comes out of the trunk, it belongs to the original owner. I'm sorry, to the owner of the tree, because it's coming from the tree itself.
The buyer.
Right, the buyer. Umina shorashim shabala karka. But if it comes from the roots, up from the ground, right, a new thing sprouts out, that's going to be owned by the bala karka. Because again, the shorashim are in the karka, and he still owns it. Vimetu, this is something we've learned many times. If the trees die, then ein lo karka means the person who bought the trees, he's done, right? He doesn't get anything else. He doesn't have the land in which to replant a new tree. Okay, next case. Kana shlosha, but if you already buy three, even according to Tanakama, kana karka. Therefore, here comes the flip case of the beginning one. Higdilu yishapeh. Since you acquire the land underneath, therefore the owner doesn't give you anything more than the tree and the land underneath. So since you acquire the land, again, this is a kula that becomes chumra. Since you acquire the land, you don't acquire, though, any more space beyond the land. So therefore, as soon as your tree grows out of that land that you acquired, the owner of the land around you, is allowed to cut down your branches. Okay, this time, right? Anything that comes from the geza or from the roots is going to be shelo. It's going to belong to the buyer. Vimetu yeshlo karka. And if they die, then again, yeshlo karka, he can replant his trees. Okay, now we're going to see a very similar Mishnah that seems to be based on the same principle. And there's going to be a bit of a debate. Is it based on the same principle or is it not? So we had a machloket. The basic machloket in our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir and Chachamim about two trees. Two trees, do you acquire karka or do you not acquire karka? Okay, so, shnei ilanot, I forget which one doesn't work, let's stop that later. Shnei ilanot, right? Rabbi Meir says, lo kana karka. And Chachamim says, the opposite. Rabbi Meir says, kana karka, sorry, my confusion. And Chachamim say, lo kana karka. Okay, that's the main distinction here. Now, Tnan Hatam, there's a Mishnah in Bikurim, okay, relevant on Pesach, why? Because on Pesach, what do we read at Leila Seder, Arami Oved Avi, what's that from? Mikra Bikurim. What is Mikra Bikurim? When you bring your first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, you're supposed to bring your first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, and then you make this declaration in front of God. So there's two basic mitzvot of Bikurim. There's to bring the Bikurim, and then there's to read this Mikra Bikurim, which is basically what we read at the Haggadah, plus, right, Veheveti, right, that's the whole, the fifth cup, right, that God brings us into Israel, you brought us into Israel, and, you know, and then you gave me these, the land and the fruits, etc. So, it says in the Mishnah there, HaKonesh Shnei Ilanot B'toch Shel Chavero Mevi Ve'eno Kore. According to Tanakama, what happens? If you have these two trees, what did he say here? Lo kana karka. So if you don't acquire the land, what's the problem? It says, Asher Tavi, okay, you can look on the side here, it brings the Pasuk. V'lakachta mereshit kopri et dvarim kafav, Pasuk bet. Mereshit kopri adama asher tavi me'artzecha, asher Hashem alakacha noten lecha. Okay, etc. So, if you have to bring it me'artzecha, well, what happened? These trees weren't me'artzecha because lo kana karka. So you're going to be mevi ve'no kore. Okay, you bring it, but it's like a semi. Okay, soon the Gemara is going to deal with what's the semi. Either you're mevi ve'kore, or you're eno mevi ve'no kore, ma pitom mevi ve'no kore. And that's why you're doing it halfway. Okay, so, but at least forgetting about that, we don't exactly understand why you do it halfway, but at least we can understand what he's saying is you don't bring it fully, let's put it that way, because you don't own the karka, and therefore it's not me'artzecha, and therefore you bring, but you don't read. Rabbi Meir, who holds the Chnei Lanot Kana Karka, so what's he obviously going to say? Omer Meir Mevi V'Kore. Okay, we're going to both be Mevi, and we're going to be Kore, because it's Israel land. Okay, very simply. However, it's not all so simple. If it's so simple, right, then what do we say? Well, there's no point to bring this Mishnah if it's so obvious. So, what does Shmuel say? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda brings the name of Shmuel. Mechayev haya Rabbi Meir af belokech perot min ashuk. Okay, some people say it's af belokech perot ha'ilan. Okay, we'll talk about it the Girsa in a minute. What does Rabbi Meir say? According to Shmuel, this isn't, the reason he says mevi v'kore is not because he's kone karka. Okay, it's because even if you bring perot from the shuk or perot from the ilan, what does this mean? If I go, okay, so now what it, this means that if I go and I buy bikurim fruits from you, then I have to bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, because they're bikurim, they have to be brought. I purchase them from you. And I have to also be kore. As Rabbi Meir, this has nothing to do with kana karka. Yes, he thinks kana karka, but even if you weren't kone karka, you would still have to bring bikurim. We have a few things we have to work out here, which is, why are you bringing bikurim? What about me'artzecha? What are we going to do with that pasuk, right? What does this all mean? But there's also a bit of a debate about whether it means, you can see the nusach, whether it's you buy fruits from the shuk, and then what would be the case? You, let's say, are selling your fruits from your tree, and you tell me, okay, I'm selling you all these fruits, but it happens to be a bunch of these are bikurim, and you'll have to bring them to the Beit HaMikdash. Alternatively, some people say it's perot ha'ilan. In other words, I go into your field, and I buy fruits from your tree, and I identify some of the ones I'm buying as the bikurim, because maybe you tied a, and people would tie the string on the fruits in order to identify them. So it could be I'm actually buying them straight from your tree. But if I actually bought them in the shuk, then I wouldn't be chayav bikurim, because bikurim is for the person who planted them or at least picked them, right? So here at least I'm picking them off your tree. But not if I'm, you know, I bought them from the shuk. There's a bit of a debate about which case actually Shmuel thinks that Rabbi Meir is mechayav. Now, how does Shmuel know that Rabbi Meir is chayav these perot, whether they're min ashuk or min ailan? Mimai? Mi dekatani mishne yatera. Well, this whole Mishnah, the second one in Bikurim, yeah, it came first actually, but the whole Mishnah is irrelevant. If it's all based on this principle about whether Koneshni, Leno, Kanar Karka, or Lo Kanar Karka, then it's a totally unnecessary Mishnah. And therefore, what do we say? Since it's a totally unnecessary Mishnah, we're going to assume, Michti Tanale, so what's the reason why he taught this Braita, this Mishnah? De Yeshlo Karka, right? So if you had a note, right, in the, from the fact that we already learned Yesh lo karka, pshita de mevi v'kore, obviously then you'd be mevi v'kore. And lashma mina, mechayev haya Rabbi Meir, af belokeach perot min ashuk. Okay? So that's his logic. So again, we have a machloket, Rabbi Meir and Shmuel, by whether someone who buys shnei lano, kanar karka or lo kanar karka. Then we have a machloket, Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, whether the person who bought chui lano would have to bring the bikurim and read, or according to Tanakama, he would be bring it, but wouldn't read. And then we have Shmuel, who comes on top of all this and says, since the Mishnah Bikurim is totally unnecessary, it must be that Rabbi Meir's reason for saying, Meviva Kore, if you buy Chui Lenot, is not just because you're Kone Karka, it's that he has this more expanded Shita, that your meviva korei bikurim, even if you buy them either from the shuk or of somebody's tree. Okay, it's a matter of how far we take Shmuel. Okay, so now we have a bunch of questions. First, we're going to have a question on Shmuel, and then, like I said, we're going to get back to our basic question about what's this meviva eino korei? What's this half-half? So first, we're going to ask about Shmuel. How could you say, Shmuel, that Rabbi Meir is mechayev even if you take perot, again, min hashuk or min ha'ilan, however you read it? V'haktiv, doesn't it say, asher tavi meretzecha, that you have to bring from your land? This guy clearly didn't bring it from his own land. So what do they answer? Hahu l'me'ute chutzala aretz. Meretzecha doesn't mean your land that you own. Aretzecha means you are the Jewish people's land. Okay, but wait a minute. V'haktiv admatcha. It says, Reshit bikure admatcha tavi beit Hashem Elokecha. That's actually not from Dvarim Kafav, where it talks about mikra bikurim, but that's in Shmo Kaf Gimel. It talks about you have to bring the bikurim. So it says, admatcha. Admatcha sounds like your adama. It doesn't sound like Eretz Yisrael. So, what do we answer? Lemiute admat akum. That means only land that's owned by Jews, not land that's owned by non-Jews. So if you buy bikurim from a non-Jew, so you don't have to bring bikurim on that. If you buy it from a Jew, you would have to. Last pasuk, v'haktiv asher natata li. Okay, where's this? This is the pasuk. This is part of what you say, the mikra bikurim. At the end, you say, it's dvarim kafav pasuk yud. V'ata hine heveti et reshit pri hadama asher natata li Hashem. That God gave me. Okay, so again, it's talking about the Adama that God gave me. So you can't say the Adama means any Jew's land. It's the Adama that God gave me. So how could you say that if you didn't actually own the land and you just bought the fruits? What is this? Again, a very broad interpretation of this pasuk. Do you have it, Lizuze v'zav nebahu? God, you gave me not necessarily the land. What did you give me? You gave me the ability to make money, which gave me the ability to purchase these fruits from somebody else. Okay, so the Asher Natatali is not referring to the Adama. It's talking about the money that I had to be able to buy those fruits. So now we've answered Shmuel. We've explained that. You could still explain that Rabbi Meir said, even with all those psukim, okay? Even though all the psukim seem to indicate your land, your adama, that God gave me, which referred to the land. No, in the end, it means as long as it's land in Israel, as long as it's land that's in Israel that was owned by a Jew, and that you paid, let's say, your own money for it, okay? Maybe, what if someone gave you as a gift? Maybe it would be different, right? Maybe you wouldn't be chayav according to this. Okay. Now we have another question. Mativ Rabba. Rabba now asks another question on Shmuel. Okay, now we have a second question on Shmuel. Hakone ilanacha betoch shel chavero, mevi ve'eno kore, lefi shelo kana karka, divrei Rabbi Meir. Shmuel's whole shita was that Rabbi Meir is mechayev lavi the likro for the bikurim, not because he was kone the karka, kone shnei leno, but Rabbi Meir would even agree if you bought him from the shuk. So, what's going on here? This braita says explicitly that if you buy one ilan, mevive eino kore, because lefisha lo kakana karka. So there's, first of all, two things going on here. Number one, let's put it this way. The first one, lefisha lo kana karka, he gives his reason, because he didn't buy land, which would mean two trees. He did acquire the land, and that's why he's chayav to bring. So that's totally contradiction. The second part of this is totally contradiction. Is he says if you buy one tree, you don't bring bikurim, right? You bring but eino kore. So that means that hakoneh min hashuk certainly wouldn't, right? If one tree doesn't, then kore min hashuk, and therefore we say tiyuvta. Okay, we now have no answer to Shmuel based on this version of this braita. Again, you can always say maybe this was somebody's interpretation of Rabbi Meir. It's not necessarily what Rabbi Meir exactly said himself, but Shmuel had a different approach. But again, this braita, assuming we assume that this braita is correct, it definitely knocks out Shmuel's shita. Okay, now we're going to get to our second question, which is, what's this in between mevi ve'eino kore? And if you noticed already, from the braita they just quoted, it's not just Tanakamu has a weird shita of mevi ve'eino kore, this in between. You bring bikurim, but you don't read the mikra bikurim. Even Rabbi Meir has it when it comes to one tree, right? They both have this in between thing about bringing and not reading. So, Amar le Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim le Rabbi Elazar, My time at Rabbi Meir be'ilan echad, my time at Rabbanan b'shnei ilanot. Okay, when it comes to Rabbi Meir for one tree, and when it comes to Chachamim for two trees, what's their reason that you have this in-between approach about mevi ve'ino kore? So, interesting answer Rabbi Elazar says, or interesting response, I should say. He doesn't give an answer. I think we've seen this statement or something along the lines of this before. Amar lo davar sharishonim lo amru botam tashileni bebeit hamidrash kedei levaisheni. Something that the earlier people didn't ever explain. Nobody gave a reason for this. You're going to ask me in front of everybody and embarrass me because I don't know the answer. Okay, the Rambam actually quotes the halacha that you have to, that if you know that somebody doesn't know the answer to something, you're not allowed to ask them in front of other people because it'll be an embarrassment to him. Okay, you have to always be careful what questions you ask to trip up the teacher, right? You can't ask a question specifically to trip up the teacher. And even if you're not doing it specifically to trip up the teacher, you have to be cautious about asking a question that might embarrass the teacher if the teacher doesn't know. I'm warning you, by the way. Don't ask me. Okay. So now, even though Rabbi Elazar doesn't have an answer, okay, Rabba comes a few generations later, and he has, I think it's actually one generation after Rabbi Elazar. I think Rabbi Elazar is second generation, Amora, if I remember correctly, and Rabba's third generation. So he comes and he says, I'm a rabba, my kushia. What's the question? Dilma, Rabbi Meir, b'ilan echad sipuke mesapkale, v'rabbanan b'shnei ilanot sipuke mesapkalehu. He says, maybe it's not that Rabbi Meir says, b'ilan echad lo kana karka, and Chachamim say, b'ilan echad, b'shnei ilanot lo kana karka. Maybe each of them was confused, like didn't know what the halacha is. Rabbi Meir didn't know with Ilan Echad whether you're Koneh Karka or not, and Chachamim didn't know B'Shnei Lena whether you're Koneh Karka, and therefore, maybe Ve'eino Kore sounds like a classic Sveika case, right? Do we do it? Don't we do it? Since we don't know, we do it halfway, right? We bring, we don't say. Okay? So therefore, they're suggesting, Rabbi's saying, that it could be that there was all Midin Safek, okay? And since it's Midin Safek, therefore you do this in between. You bring, but you don't recite. So now they say, Umi Misapkale. What do you mean they didn't know? What did it say in the Braita that we read? V'hakatane, Lefisha lo kana karka, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So this, we're going to have four questions on Rabba. This is the first question. How could you claim that it was Midin Safek when Rabbi Meir explicitly says in the Braita, Lefisha lo kana karka? Lefisha lo kana karka says he did not acquire land. He didn't say maybe he didn't acquire the land. So that's the first question. Answer is, Ema, no, just reread that Braita and that it really means Shema lo kana karka. Okay, what it really means is maybe he didn't acquire the land. When Rabbi Meir wasn't saying it definitively, he was saying, you maybe may know correct, because maybe he didn't actually acquire the land. Maybe the halacha is that kind. Okay, so that's the first answer. So the first question was very simple, straightforward. Text of a braita contradicts. Okay, amend the text a little bit, slightly. Now they say, but wait a minute. If this is Safek, now we're going to have three questions. I think all three of them are in the lines of the same, certainly the next two, which is that if you are doubtful whether this is Bikurim or not, then we're going to have all sorts of other halachic issues that arise. Okay, so the first question was based just on the text of the Braita. But now we're going to get into halachic problems, which is what? Belichush dilma lav Bikurim ninhu. If the whole reason you're mevi ve'eino kore is because it's Safek, do you own the land, in which case it's chayev and bikurim all the way? Or maybe you don't own the land, in which case it's not chayev and bikurim at all. Therefore, bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, because there's no harm in bringing it. But don't read the Mikra Bikurim, and that way you're kind of yotzei both. So they say, wait a minute. Just bringing the bikurim themselves to the Beit HaMikdash is going to be problematic. Why? V'kama ayoch chulin lazara. Right? If these are actually not bikurim, right, because it's sefik, it's 50-50 chance which one it is. If it's bikurim, great. So you brought them, you just didn't say the text. Now we're going to see later, wait, what do you mean you didn't say the text? Maybe you have to say the text, okay? But let's assume that it's okay. So now, what's going to be the issue? You're bringing chulin lazara. You're not allowed to bring something that's chol into the Beit HaMikdash. If they're bikurim, they're kodesh. If they're not bikurim, they're chol. If they're chol, you can't bring them into the Beit HaMikdash. So what are the answer? No big deal. in this case where you have one tree that you bought from your friend, or two, right, one tree according to Rabbi Meir, two trees according to Chachamim, and you're suffic, whether they're bikurim or not, so what should you do? Be makdish them and say, if these are bikurim, great. And if they're not bikurim, then I'm going to be makdish them to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, what happens to the bikurim, you remember? The Kohanim eat the bikurim. You bring them to the Kohanim and the Kohanim eat them. Well, if it's hekdesh, v'habay l'michlinu, but the Kohanim are supposed to eat them. The Kohanim can't eat hekdesh. They're not allowed to eat something that you're makdish to the Beit HaMikdash. They can eat bikurim and certain things that are specified for the Kohanim, but not this. So what do we answer? Deparik lehu. So again, now we have a few more details you have to add. So if you're in this case of suffic, what do? You bring them to the Beit HaMikdash. You say, you make this condition. If they're bikurim, great. If they're not bikurim, they're going to be hekdesh. And then, before the Kohanim eat them, you have to be poder, right? You redeem them onto a coin. Give that as hekdesh to the Beit HaMikdash, and then the Kohanim can eat the fruits. Okay. That's the second question. Now we get to the third question. If they're bikurim, they're not chayavim, trumot umasrot. So what's the problem now, right? Obviously, the bikurim, you're not taking trumot umasrot on them. So, v'dilma la bikurim ninhu, maybe these aren't bikurim. V'kamav kalum v'trumot umasir. And then, you have these fruits that now people are eating, right? The Kohanim are eating without having removed the trumot umasrot from them. That's true, you're giving them to the Kohanim in the end, but you're giving them as bikurim, you know, you haven't taken trumot umasrot. So what do we say? Dimafrish lehu. So you are mafrish. In other words, what do you do again? So now we have, right, number one, you bring them. Number two, you, right, you make this tonight. If they're bikurim, great. If they're not, then, if not, then I'm makdish them. And then you're poder them. And also, beforehand, you take trumot umasrot from them. So now what's the issue? It's also a problem. You're taking trumot umasrot from bikurim. Who's going to eat these, right? Only Kohanim can eat bikurim. So let's go through and see what the issues are. Bishlama truma gedola. Yavla the Kohen. So the Truma Gedola is easy, because anyway, you give that part to the Kohen. So you now, before you get to the Beit HaMikdash, you start separating out Truma and Masra from them. You give the Truma Gedola to a Kohen, or the truth is maybe you give them, must be if they're, maybe I misunderstood, maybe you actually have to bring them to the Beit HaMikdash and then take the Truma and Masra from them. In case they're Bikurim, and then they fully have to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. So I guess after you bring them, then you take Truma. Fine, Truma Gedola goes to the Kohen anyway. That's easy. That's my place. Master Shani Nami Yavle Lekoin. Master Shani is the part, right, in the 1 years, 1, 2, 4, and 5 that you bring to the Beit HaMikdash to eat yourself. But anyone can eat them. It's kosher for anyone, so you give it to as a gift to a Kohen. Master Ani Nami, okay, that's also easy. On the 3rd year and the 6th year, you give to a poor person. So very simply, Yavle Lekoin Ani. Find an Ani who's a Kohen. Ela, Master Rishon de Levi, who Laman Yavle. So who are you going to give? Your master Shani has to go to a Levi. So what do they answer? Don't worry. What did I say, Shani? Master Rishon goes to the Levi. That's the first master. That goes to the Levi. So who are you going to give that to? No worries. Yavle l'kohen, k'rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Titania, there's a machloka, which we learned already in Yevamot. Truma gedola l'kohen, master Rishon l'Levi. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. There's a machloka, okay, about whether the master goes to the Levi, or Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, master Rishon af the Kohen. Master Rishon, according to Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, can also go to the Kohen. Why? Because Kohanim are Leviim. They come from Shevet Levi. So Kohanim are actually Leviim. And this is based on a whole thing that happened in the time of Ezra. Okay, you can look in the Rashbam, he explains it. Kedem Farsh B'Ketubot, Perek HaYishashen Et Armela, it's there in Ketubot, the what? U'mokele lebatar de kansinu Ezra. Okay? Ezra was kones the Levi'im because they didn't go back to the Beit HaMikdash, right? They weren't on the Aliyah LaRegel, not the Aliyah LaRegel, the Shivat Zion, when everybody came back to, well, not everybody, when people came back after the Churban Bayit in the time of Ezra, not everybody came back. And Ezra said that the Levi'im were getting a knas because they didn't come back. But now the Maser is going to go to the Kohanim and not to the Levi'im. Okay, there's a whole big debate here about how to understand this machloka, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. According to the Rashbam, a bunch of people say it sounds like, and by the way, he continues the Rashbam and he says, Umashmale Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Levi'im dekra af Kohanim b'mashma. Why? that when it says Levi'im in the Pasuk, it includes Kohanim. Why? There's 24 places, you can go look them up, where in the Torah it calls the Kohanim Levi'im. Okay? Now, there's a bit of a problem with what he's saying, because it sounds like on the one hand he's saying that from the time of Ezra, the Kohanim were allowed to eat Maser, but not earlier. On the other hand, he says in the Torah, it says, calls the Kohanim Levi'im, which means that from the Torah they can eat Trumot Maser, they can eat the Masra. So there's a whole debate about how to understand this and whether, in fact, the Machloket, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, is actually only once the Knas came into effect. But most of them say, no. It was even from the beginning. The Maser was Ra'oy for Kohanim also. And that the debate is, first of all, if you see by the word Af LeKohen, there's an Aleph there. Some people, that sends you to the Bach, who says Tevat Af Nimchak. That maybe it's just Maser Rishon LeKohen. And that what Ezra did was, from the Torah, anyone could have eaten Truman Maser, the Maser, either the Kohen or the Levi. And from the time of Ezra, there was a Knas that only the Kohen could eat it. And that maybe from the Torah already they could, right? And then from Ezra not. So there's a bit of a debate about what exactly changed in the time of Ezra. Was it to allow the Kohanim Bechlal to eat it? Or was it to say, Levi'im, you're out, and Kohanim, you're in instead? But Kohanim were already, you could have given it to the Kohanim from before, and it just changed here that now it's not for the Levi'im. So there's a bit of a debate, which obviously majorly affects whether from the Torah they can get, or only from the time of Ezra, okay? In either which way, however you read this, we're going to assume that you can even give the Maser to the Kohen. So therefore, we've resolved all the Maser and Truma problems. Okay, so that was question number 3. So just to review before we go on, we had question number 1, this Braita that didn't match, because it said Delokana Karka, and it also said one Ila, it says Delokana Karka, specifically, right, and not, it was Shema Lo Yikne, right? Then we said, oh no, it means maybe. Okay, which is doubtful. The second one was, how can you bring Chulin Lazara? So we solved that, your Makadish. And then how did the Kohanim eat it? Okay, we solved that, your Podeh. The third question was this Truman of Maser. So I say, oh, no problem. You take Truman of Maser also. Okay, so now we have all these conditions that we're at. Instead of just saying very simply, your Mevive no Kore, becomes quite complicated. You thought, oh, Mevive no Kore, it's a little simpler. You don't have to be Kore, but you have to do a million things to it, right? To resolve all the Sveikot. And now we're going to see a fourth one that you're going to end up having to do because of this fourth question. The Dilma Bikurim Ninhu, Ubai Kriya. But if they're really Bikurim, right, all the others, well, let's say they're not Bikurim. Now we're going to say, but if they are Bikurim, then what's the problem? You need to do Kriya. So the answer very simply, Kriya lo ma'akevet. Okay? That's not ma'akev. The recitation is not, you can bring the Bikurim without reciting, and you still yotze the mitzvah of Bikurim.
But what's the question? I mean, the whole concept of a safek is you don't know. So you're taking your best guess, or you're relying on some principle of, you know, lachmir,
megdil. Right.
I mean, there's always that concern that perhaps you're wrong.
What do you mean there's always a concern?
A safek is a safek. I mean, anywhere where you see a safek.
No, but if you're wrong, and then, but the issue is we have to cover all our bases. So if you're wrong, right, and if you go on the wrong side, let's say you assume that they are not Bikurim, right? So you say, therefore, since I think they're not Bikurim, so I'm not going to be Kore. But then you weren't fulfilling the other side. We want to work it out that
so
you
that
can fulfill everything.
So
you cover all your
other
bases.
Questions, but this question is that the essence, meaning when they made the decree, we're going to take and not read, they understand. To me, it's obvious that it's Lomakev, right?
Uh-huh. Because why else would they say this?
Right.
But now the Gemara is going to question. Okay. Why? Okay, they're going to say, right, it is obvious because Kriya Lomakevet, except the Gemara is going to say, is Kriya really Lomakevet? Okay, why do we think the Kriya might really be Ma'akev? Velo. Vahama. And here we're going to take a principle from a totally different context, which we've discussed before and we'll discuss further. I mentioned this actually has ramifications for tefillah and the mikvah for women. Talk about it in a minute. The Hamar Rabbi Zera kol haro'oi lebila ein bila ma'akevet bo. The she'eno ra'oi lebila bila ma'akevet bo. Okay, this is talking about the mincha that you bring in the Beit HaMikdash. You have to bring solet balul b'shemen. Balul means mixed, right? Let's say you have too much in the bowl and you can't mix it, right? You ever put too many things in the mixing bowl or a salad bowl and you can't toss it, right? So what do they say? There was a special size you were supposed to put the kli in because of the amount and that it wouldn't go overflow. if you didn't mix the solet, the very fine flour, with the oil, but you could have, in theory, mixed it, okay? You have a salad that fits in the salad bowl. You could have mixed it, but you didn't toss it, okay? So what do we say? That's kol ha'ra'oy lebila. It could have been mixed. In that case, ein bila ma'akevet bo. There's a halacha that doesn't have to actually be mixed, okay? It should be balul b'shemen, but if you didn't balul b'shemen, it's okay. But it's only okay if it could have potentially been mixed. But if it's eino ra'oy lebila, if you put it in a bowl that was too small for the amount, and there was no way to mix it without everything spilling, okay, then the bilas ma'akevet. Okay, this is, where does it come up by mikvah? It comes up, I've mentioned this before, if you can't tovel because you have a problem with your ears, and water can get into your ears and you'll have an issue, so you can put cotton, like cotton balls in your ears to block the water from going in. Now, if you dunk for a second in the mikvah and you come right out, so the water won't go into your ears. But, so how can, isn't it a chatzitza? You're not allowed to have anything blocking the water from getting in. So what do we assume? That since the water could potentially have gotten in, had you stayed underwater long enough, the water could have gotten through the cotton balls. If you put up something that totally and utterly blocks it, that won't work. But if it's cotton, which eventually it will get seeped and the water will go through, then it's not ma'akev. It's not a chatzitza. But if it can't get through, then it is. So the water doesn't actually have to get to everywhere, but there has to be potential for the water to get everywhere. So that's the same concept here. So therefore, we're going to say that you don't have to read if you were able to read. But in this case, where in theory you might not be able to read, right? Therefore, the kriya should be ma'akev. That's going to be their
sounds
question.
Like something with such broad implications and so dangerous.
Why?
You know, because I could have made a bracha, you know, it seems like so much bigger than what they're talking about here with halacha.
If you, the question is, can you extend
right,
the
how
principle?
Far can you extend the principle?
Yeah.
Right. Right. And what does it relate to also? Things that are potentially not ma'akev. In other words, there's certain things that are ma'akev and certain things that aren't. Like obviously, like Aviva said, they knew that the kriya wasn't ma'akev. They knew that me'rosh. So what were they even asking for? So they were asking exactly for this reason. Things that we know aren't generally ma'akev, they're only not ma'akev if there's a potential to do them. But if there's no potential to do them, then they are ma'akev. That's right. And the question is how far you take this. It's good, you know, it's a good question. So now what are the answer? No, we're going to find a case, okay? We're going to have to, now we're going to add a much more complicated than all the other things that we said. You're going to have to bring the bikurim in such a way that you wouldn't have been chayev in kriya anyway. Okay, what's that? Da'avet luk Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Da'amar b'tzaran v'shagran b'yad shaliach. If you cut them yourself, okay, you pick the, what's the word? Lipitzura anavim?
Harvest.
You harvest? Okay. I thought there was a word specific for grapes, no?
Not in English.
Okay. Just in Hebrew. So, bitzaran, if you harvested the grapes and you sent them with a shaliach, or, again, there's a few debates about how exactly to understand this case, or the shaliach dies baderech, okay, what does it say in the pasuk? It says, v'lakachta, okay, I'll read the pasuk to you. Bilakachta it's dvarim kavav pasuk bet, the second pasuk in that parak. Bilakachta mereshit kopri adama, you have to take from the first of your fruits, asher tevi meretzach, asher shem lakach noten lach. Bisamta batena, behalachta elamakom. So it says, bilakachta, behalachta. So what do we learn? The likicha, meaning the harvesting, and the halicha have to be done by the same person. So if you did the harvesting and the person who brought it was a shaliach, or made shaliach baderech. There's a bunch of different interpretations. Maybe it's that the shaliach harvested it and started walking, but then he died, and then the owner himself brought them. Let's just go with that interpretation. Mevi ve'eino kore. In that case, since you don't have the complete ve'lakachta ve'halachta, I think there's also ve'heveta, right? It's I think there's also ve'heveta in another pasuk. Anyway, you don't have all of that. Here, right? It says it. It says it in a second. Maybe ve'no kore, my time, adichtiv, v'lakachta ve'heveta. Okay? Because it says, right, v'lakachta me'rishiko priyadama. Where does it say ve'heveta? It must be in the next pasuk. Okay, I don't have it in front of me. Maybe it's in... Right, does it say it here? Rishi v'lakachta... I don't know where Havye Beta is, but it comes up in the Pasuk Be'e Beta. Ad shtei lekicha v'havaah ke'echad. Okay, so therefore they say the lekicha and the havaah have to be together. That's what it is. It's veheveta asher tavi me'aretzecha. It's in that pasuk. It's not veheveta. It says v'lakachta me'rishiko pri adama asher tavi me'aretzecha. Okay, that you brought from your land. So it has to be you took it and you brought it. Okay, to the Beit HaMikdash. So it has to be lekicha v'havaah ke'echad v'haleka. Okay, so therefore, what do we understand? That it has to be both of them. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here. We'll finish up. We'll pick up from here tomorrow. But basically, so we have four questions on this concept. And then we answer them, right? Each answer brought us an additional, well, the first one didn't, but the other three brought an additional responsibility of the person, since it's misafek. Right, we're going to have to also add on all sorts of things to cover all our bases. So on the one hand, if it's not Bikurim, we're going to have to worry that it's Chulin, so we have to make the Hekdesh. And then also be Poded, so the Kohen can actually eat it. If it's not Hekdesh, if it's not Bikurim, also you have to take Truma to Masrod and then give them to other Kohanim, because it might be Bikurim. And if it is Bikurim, then we have to worry that, what about the Kriya? So we're going to have to create a situation where you're not chayav in kriya at all. So you have to basically send, either harvest it yourself and send it with shaliach, or have the shaliach harvest it and you bring it. Obviously, you don't want to create a situation where your shaliach harvests it and then you kill the shaliach baderech, right? Made shaliach baderech, right? We're obviously not going to, that wasn't the suggestion they were suggesting, but right, don't get confused by that. But in other words, you have to create a situation where there's you doing part and a shaliach doing part, and that's the way you're going to bring these safek bikurim, according to this interpretation. Okay, so we've gotten a little far adrift from where we started, because maybe ve'eno kore sounded pretty simple. You bring and you don't, right? And now we've created this situation that, according to the way the rabbis understood it, because of this safek, we've now created a situation where you have to do it quite differently than it would be normally done.